Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Let's Cover It, brought to you by The Covering Church.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you once again for tuning in for another episode of Let's Cover It. It has been a great joy of ours to be able to bring all of these episodes to you of these various series, and we are grateful that you continue to watch us. And I certainly hope that you subscribe to what we're doing and to who we are, but not only subscribe, but I hope you share it, because that's another key factor for us. And we've been able to speak to some of you who have listened to our podcast in the past, and we are grateful for your comments and even the questions that you have. Once again, my name is Dwayne Lee, one of your hosts, and Chris Dunford sitting beside me, and we are grateful to be your host for this episode of Let's Cover It. The last time that we got together, we started a series entitled, Who Does God Think He Is? Now,
that's quite a title, you know.
It is quite a title.
Lord forgive us.
Yeah, I know, right? But honestly, Chris, there are some people who really think that.
Well, I would agree. I mean, I've run into them all the time.
Well, yeah, they because, you know, they think, you know, well, why would God do this, or why did God do that, or why would he allow this? And we're going to get into that. And we got into that our last episode. The biggest question is, the reason we came up with the title is the fact that we really want to show you who God not only thinks he is, but more importantly, who he is.
Well, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. And if we can't do that, then really we just need to stop the podcast. You know what I'm saying? Because then everything else that we would do beyond that would simply be humanistic fluff or conjecture or opinion.
Well, we would become like everybody else.
Well, we would become like many, many other people.
It would end up being politics or.
Well, that's right.
Something else other than what we're doing.
Yeah. So bottom line is, it may be facetious to say, who does God think that he is? But if nothing else, we hope that it's a hook that has maybe caught the attention of somebody who is looking and contemplating and maybe even thinking about really who God thinks that he is. So, Chris, with that being said, that was probably a poor introduction, but nonetheless, that gets us started in this series. Now, as you and I were talking, there are obviously certain things in Scripture that confirm for us who God is, and his word confirms who he is, and he has preserved his word to tell us who he is.
That's exactly right.
So, yes. With that being said, for the person who doesn't have that biblical understanding, for that person who is out there and has been tossed to and fro, who has listened to everything under the sun, who has listened to various opinions, how would you go about helping that individual come to, if I can put it this way, come to light?
Well, I think it's a combination. I think that it revolves around how we live our lives, mm-hmm. how we view things in our lives as they transpire, how we deal with them. I think it also revolves around how we view the Word of God. How serious do we take it? How central of a focus is it to our lives? It's interesting to me that I see Christians that'll spend their Sundays in church, and then you see their social media posts on Monday, and they're full of expletives and
sure,
you know, things like that. And you say, how do you expect your friends to truly believe that you believe this book,
right,
when your life is one thing on Sunday and something else, you know, on Monday morning? And so I think part of it's the way we live.
Yes. So, and I appreciate you saying that, because it's just been this past week that I heard two individuals who were prominent, and if I were to say their names, you would go, "Oh yeah," but I'm I'm not quite sure I'm allowed to do that. My production team hasn't given me clarity on saying yes. that. But if I were to say their names, you would go, oh my, absolutely. But two of them almost simultaneously said, and they were not even on the same program, use this phrase, cultural Christian.
Yes.
Now, here's an oxymoron. One of those individuals claims to be an atheist.
Correct.
But said, I would consider myself a cultural Christian.
Yes.
How does that work?
Well, I think America had largely been, in a lot of ways, culturally Christian. There is genuine Christian. That's someone who has truly put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. They've come to a saving knowledge of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Their lives reflect it. Their views reflect it in the sense that they always have a heavenly view, a forward view.
A kingdom view.
A kingdom view.
Yeah,
and then,
sure.
And then there are those who believe that that they show a respect and a courtesy toward godly things. You can go to a NASCAR event and they'll have a word of prayer and they'll bow their head and take their hat off and they'll say amen. And, you know, for them, they see themselves as, quote, Christian. I believe in Jesus. They don't read their Bible and not a lot of their language reflects the fact that they are truly Christian. And yet they'll hold to certain Christian values. You know, I won't cheat on my wife. I'm always honest in my endeavors. My handshake is good to go.
Yeah.
You know, I think there are Christian values that we can see for people who would say, that makes me culturally Christian. I think there are people who appreciate what Western Christian culture has done for the civilized world, if you would.
Okay.
And
sure.
I think that would be, I would call them cultural Christians. But cultural Christians, by and large, are as lost as an atheist who's not a cultural Christian.
Agreed.
Because they don't truly know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They have never surrendered to his lordship. They have never trusted him as their Lord and Savior. Their lives have never truly been abrogated to his word, to him, and never have they really truly developed a relationship with God. At least that's how I see it.
Well, honestly, Chris, when you think about it, it's really not how we feel, but it's what the Word of God says.
That's correct.
And unless we come to faith in Jesus Christ, who gave his life on the cross, surrender ourselves to him, and as Jesus said to Nicodemus, be born again,
right?
Then it doesn't make a difference who we are or what we do or how we do it or even what religion we might think we are. I've said this for 100 years. It's not about religion, but it's about a relationship.
Yes.
At the end of the day, we don't have a relationship.
That is correct. So without the relationship, that you have the term without anything under it. And I think it's a lot like you can go to countries like England,
right,
where by and large the nation has become secularized.
Sure.
They have state churches that are paid for by tax dollars that they take from their citizens every year to pay for the buildings, to pay for the salaries of the pastors. and they'll say that they're a Christian country. And yet just this week, their prime minister ordered that the name church be removed from all their churches and instead the word community center
yep.
be put in. That is not Christianity. Whatever it is certainly not Christianity.
It is certainly not Christianity. That is for sure.
And yet they call themselves Christians, a Christianized nation.
Correct. Yeah. And matter of fact, I had a good friend of mine, it's been a number of years ago now, who is from England. He talks about football. I talk about football, but it's not the same. It's not the same game.
Ours has pads and tackling, and theirs kicks one around the field.
Right? That's right. But at the end of the day, he said, Dwayne, I fear the fact that America is headed in the same direction as my country.
Oh, absolutely.
And he said, if you look back historically, if you were to look back 100 years ago, just 100 years ago, he said 94% of my country was solid Christian.
As they said, as they claimed.
Yes. As they claimed, right.
Yes.
He said, but now only 4%.
Well, I think England suffers from a huge influx. They've allowed themselves a huge influx of Muslims who have.
Sure.
They have, I think London alone, over 55% of the city of London is now a Muslim enclave.
Right.
Certainly they don't claim to be Christian by any means.
No, not at all.
So you have surrendered 55% of your capital city to a group of people who are anti-God, yeah. anti-Christian as we would consider it.
Right.
And at least anti the God that we know of the Bible. And oh. and so we in America, I think I see two things. I think that we see the popular culture, Hollywood and the popular culture,
mm-hmm.
and companies. Go ahead.
I would, well, when you said that, who would say at the end of a game, at the end of Olympics, at the end of a show, receiving an award, who would give credit to God?
Yes.
And you have to ask yourself the question, well, based upon the movie or whatever,
I don't think God had anything to do with it.
I'm scratching my head going,
I saw a popular actress. Again, we're trying not to name drop, but a popular actress the other day. She's a singer.
Mm-hmm.
She grew up in church. She was raised in Kentucky, and not long ago, she said, I need to get back to my roots. Well, then most recently, she releases an album with an album cover where she's virtually nude, and she's parading around in, you know, clothing that, you know, my wife didn't even sleep in, if you know what I'm saying.
I mean, sure,
and you see what's going on in her life, and you say, if this is your roots, that explains everything.
Exactly.
That explains it.
Go ahead.
But I think America, we're seeing a dichotomy. I think in one way we're seeing a revival take place. And we went to a concert, a Christian concert the other night.
Mm-hmm.
It was a stand-up concert. They didn't have any seats. You just went right. stood up or sat on the grass. And I stood next to a bunch of people that were 21, 22 years old
mm-hmm.
that were loving the Lord, man. They were praising his name, shouting.
Right.
And I'm looking at hundreds, maybe thousands. I don't want to play the Donald Trump, you know. They were hundreds and in there with us. It's a million. There were millions. There were several hundred of these young people.
Sure.
And I looked around in May and I said, we're everywhere. And we tend to run into people all the time that I know love the Lord in one side. And yet on the other side, we can see the popular culture and corporations and the deep state, if you will, is desperately trying to push us away from any values that are Christian.
Right.
I mean, we have a political convention going on right now where they have vans sitting in the driveway where they're performing abortions. This is worshiping Moloch
mm-hmm.
right in the parking lot.
Right.
And so we are seeing and openly expressing it in the political platforms.
Right.
Okay, so we are seeing that this battle, I think it's this battle between individuals in our culture who see a need for Jesus Christ in their lives.
Right.
And the popular culture who's trying to push us to the fringes.
Right.
And I think that there's, you can feel that pressure going on.
There's tension.
Tension yeah. in the professional realm, in Hollywood, in the battle for the culture going on right now today. Right. Some companies are running as fast as they can away from the culture, from that culture. Others are running to embrace it. Right. Some have embraced it and said, whoa, this ain't working. I'm coming away from it.
Right.
And so I think that we in our nation, I think there are 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal, if you would.
And I was just about ready to say that Elijah got so depressed in all of this going, Lord, I'm the only one in this fight. And God says, no, not so much.
Yeah. I told you this morning, I walked into a local convenience store to buy a cup of coffee. And one of the girls said, hey, I've been listening to your podcast. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And she's like 20 years old. I'm like, praise the Lord. You know, listen to two old codgers sitting around talking about the Bible.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Which, by the way, this is a sidebar kind of thing, but I'm very grateful for the people that do watch. And our production team told us on Sunday that that there is a diverse group of people who do watch us.
That is true. I was amazed at the diverse group.
I was too. You know, I would like to see larger numbers of other age groups than us. But, you know, there is a diversity there, and I'm grateful for that. So, but getting back to topic. So with all of that said, I have to get back to the title. Who does God think he is? Because we have all of this stuff going on, certainly not new by any stretch of the imagination. We see it within Scripture. We see the children of Israel going through that and, you know, following Moses for a while. And then Moses leaves and goes to the top of Mount Sinai to have a conversation with God. And they have a party.
Man, did they have a party.
Yeah, they a big party. So
I mean, it is a party that was basically an X-Men
party for the ages. That's right. So, but why would God allow all of that stuff to take place? Why didn't he just kill us all and start over, as some would say?
Oh, he did once. Well, it was called the flood.
Yeah, that's true. Except for eight people. That's right.
So I think, as a Christian, now, I think secular world thinks that we as Christians, we just march down the road with these blinders on and we just say, I believe the Bible, I believe the Bible, I believe the Bible, that we never question anything. Yeah. And I would say that's not even close to reality.
It's not.
I think for years, I have wrestled with that very question. Why does God allow evil? Now, we talked about in one session, people accusing God of actually participating in evil.
Right.
That's a different argument. But in this case, assuming that God doesn't actively participate in it, because the Bible says that.
Right.
Then the question is, why does he allow it?
Right.
And I have read, honestly, dozens and dozens of writers on this subject, and none of them have ever truly
answered the question,
yes, right. Satisfactorily. So do I think that I'm going to tonight, but I'm going to give it a shot because I have thought about this for years.
Right.
And I read Molina, mm-hmm. Molinist.
Right.
I think he touched on a very good way of looking at why it exists, probably better than anybody else, and that's from the 1500s.
Right.
So I think we have to start with, if we're going to answer the question, we have to start with the very first reason is why. Initially, people are going to say, what does that have to do with the subject at all? I'm going to weave it back in a minute. But the question is, why did God create us in the first place?
That's a great question. And if I understand Scripture correctly, so that we would worship him.
That's right. My wife and I had this discussion tonight, and she says, there's a lot of people that say that was pretty arrogant of God. And I'd say, well, God's the creator. What does Romans 8 say? You know, why is the one who made me, what does the one who was formed have the right to say to the one who formed him, why did you make me this way?
Right.
If God created us mm-hmm. for a purpose as creator, he has the right to create us for whatever purpose he sees fit.
Right.
And so assuming that's the case, which in the Bible it is,
right.
Then we have a choice. We can recognize the reason why God created us, or we can rebel against that and say, I'm going to live my own life, my own way, without God. I'm going to do it my way, and nobody's going to tell me why I exist.
Which is exactly what Adam did.
That's correct.
And for those of you who may not be aware, we have to go all the way back to the book of Genesis mm-hmm. to understand that. By the time that we get to chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve believe that they can do it better than God can.
Well, they were told by Satan.
They were told by Satan,
yeah, listen,
sure.
You eat of
but
this.
But they made a decision.
Yeah, they did. And he said to Eve, you know, you you're going to become just like God. Well, that's basically what's happening in our culture today when they begin to go down these roads. And we're going to talk about that tonight.
Yeah.
Why is it that when I say evil exists, therefore God cannot exist, there is a problem with that logic, a huge hole in that logic.
Well, sure, because God does exist.
Yes.
Yeah.
First of all, he does, and evil does exist.
And
can God coexist with evil? In our present world, not a counterfactual world, in a real world, that is the case.
In the world that you and I live in, which happens to be the only one.
That is correct.
We haven't found people on Mars. We haven't found people on the moon. We haven't found people anywhere else in the universe.
You know, I always postulate, would it be exciting if they found another planet and they were all Christians worshiping the Lord?
Well, you know what? There is a place.
There is.
It's called heaven.
Right? I know. But, I mean, I've always thought that'd be a great sci-fi movie, wouldn't it? Yeah. You show up and here they are. They're all in church. They're all worshiping. And you're talking about the Savior that died on another planet for their salvation. That's kind of Mormonism, I guess, in a way.
Well, yeah, we won't go there.
Anyway,
yeah.
I do want to say that if we were to take that argument that why does evil exist, why does God allow it, and see people turn away from the Bible because of that dichotomy, we have to go, first of all, we have to start with why do we exist? If God created us to worship him, we have to have choice.
Right.
I can program my phone with Siri. I can say, from now on, Siri, I want you to call me the greatest man that ever lived. And every time I said, Siri, yes, greatest man that ever lived. That doesn't mean that my phone actually believes that I'm the greatest man that ever lived.
No.
And see, if we don't have choice to start with, we are just like Siri. We're just repeating back exactly what God programmed us to do.
But there are those who believe that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yeah. There are. Yeah.
Yeah. There are people who believe that we have been programmed, or that we have been set aside for this or this, and the two shall never meet.
Right.
But that is not the case.
That is correct.
Because if Adam and Eve were created, like we said a few minutes ago, for the purpose of worshiping God and to have fellowship and communion with the creator of the universe, we had to give them, or God gave them, a choice.
That's correct. They had to be able to not worship God in order to be able to worship God of free will.
Thank you. Took the words right out of my mouth. Okay.
So if then coming from that platform, if we start from that platform, we have to look back at some counterfactuals. Now, counterfactuals are the what ifs.
Right. And what if this, right? Yeah.
That's correct. So we have to look at what ifs. So there are people who said to me, well, why couldn't God have just made a world without evil altogether? Okay, let's run with that. In other words, if God was real, he would never have made a world with evil in it. I've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, who does God think he is to make a world with evil in it? That's what they're really saying.
That's right.
So, and the answer is, so if God made a world where there wasn't any evil, that means we couldn't choose not to worship. And we're right back to that point where we are robots just walking around praising God because we're pre-programmed to put out what's put in.
Right.
We have no free will, no free choice, no free expression. We cannot bring in Ephesians 1, three times, God says that we are created to bring glorious praise to him. Three times.
Right.
We don't do that if all I'm doing is giving back what I've been pre-programmed to spit out.
Exactly.
So it's very clear that God wants us to have relationship. He desires relationship with us. He doesn't need it, but he desires to have relationship with us. So he created us for the purpose of us freely seeking him and worshiping him.
And by doing so, it is honest, authentic worship.
That is exactly. From our heart, from our mind, to our God.
The best we can.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And so in order to do that, we have to have the ability to not do that. And the moment we don't do that, that's evil. Not how man defines evil, how God defines evil. Yes?
But yes. You're exactly right.
Okay, so that's the first argument. First argument is, if God were real, he wouldn't create a world with evil in it. Well, truth of the matter is, if he created a world with no evil in it, then he wouldn't meet the aims of Ephesians 1. He would not have anybody worshiping, bringing the praise, the glorious praise to him,
right,
because they are only doing it because they're pre-programmed to do it.
Right.
Okay, so then I've had people say, well, why didn't God stop the evil?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
50,
70 million Russians died under Stalin. Why didn't God stop that? You know, same amount under...
6 million Jews.
Yeah, 6 million Jewish, you know.
Whatever.
We have the Chinese killed millions of Chinese. There's still murder and mayhem going on all around the world. And people are saying, well, if God was really there, why doesn't he stop it?
Right.
And so, again, if we go back to the Molinist view of counterfactuals, let's ask this question. And I would ask this to that person.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're one of those people, this is not a sarcastic or argumentative question.
No, it's a legitimate question.
Here's a legitimate question.
Yeah.
What constitutes evil, and do you want God to stop it before it starts, or do you want him to stop it at the commencement of it? That's two different decisions God has to make, right?
Right.
He can make it before it ever begins. Mm-hmm. That means that he has to kill a person or wipe them out from the way they think.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you're thinking to do evil, I'm going to wipe you off the face of the earth before you ever enact upon it. Yes?
Yes. Yeah.
So that means, first of all, that puts me in a position where I no longer worship God out of love. I worship God out of fear.
Exactly.
Because I'm worried about now every thought that I have, God's going to exterminate me. Yes?
Yes. Yes.
And assuming that if he wipes them out for being evil, that means an eternity without having a relationship with him.
That's right. So a subset of that, and please correct me if I'm wrong, a subset of that would be for individuals who believe that they are Christians, but if they think something is wrong, they could lose their salvation.
Yes.
I don't want to jump on that ship right now.
Okay, so maybe that's another podcast, but let me say this straight up. You have nothing to do with your salvation.
You're kidding me.
Nothing to do with it. I mean, for a person who believes they can lose their salvation, you have nothing to do with it to begin with.
Well, no, you don't.
You didn't earn it.
No. Nope.
You didn't die for it. You didn't pay for it.
The only thing that Scripture says you have
yourself
to do
is put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's it.
Thank you. All right.
And God's done it all. Okay. But we can flesh that out theologically later.
We can.
But I want to get back to this because if we look at this argument then, okay, so we're going to have God intervene, and he's going to wipe out evil before you ever even act upon it in this counterfactual world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now he's going around willy-nilly wiping everybody out.
Right.
Because we have to ask the question, what is evil? We can take the two political parties we have in the United States right now. One side thinks the other side's evil. It doesn't matter which one you go to.
It doesn't matter, yeah.
So the one side said the other's of Satan, needs to be wiped out. The other says this one's of Satan, they need to be wiped out.
Right.
So if we go by your opinion of what is evil,
your
50%
view,
of the country's already dead.
That's right.
Before they ever do anything.
Right.
Just because of what they believe politically.
Right.
Yes?
Right.
Okay, so then you've got to go down the road. If every time a guy looks at a woman, according to the Bible, Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after you've committed adultery already, bam, you're dead.
That's right.
God's not going to put up with that. Anytime a guy decides he's going to go cheat on his wife,
right,
as he's walking out the door, he dies of a heart attack.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime that anybody goes to do anything evil under that philosophy.
Right.
So then we have to look at God's righteousness versus man's righteousness.
Right.
Because we're going to decide now, once we've gone down this road, we're going to decide what evil looks like.
Right.
Okay, God killed that person, but he didn't kill that person. That person was as evil as that person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that pulls righteousness out of God's hands, puts it into your hands.
Right.
Once you take the reins of that, what do you become?
You become God.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
The very moment we start going down this road, we make ourselves God, because we're setting up an artificial standard that, as I've looked at this over the years, that's exactly what you start doing. You start setting up an artificial standard of who should live and who should die.
And haven't we done that?
Yes.
We have done that. As humans, we have done that.
Even the church has done that in its history. Yes.
It has. So can we make this a two-parter?
Yes. I think we're out of time. I want to come back to that second element.
Well, we have to.
Yeah, I want to do that.
We have to. So, yeah, because if we go to the second part, then I don't want this to run any longer than it than it needs to.
Yes.
Because we try to stay within a time limit. So I hope that has whet your appetite to come back to the next one. I know we only drop one a week, but hopefully it has caused you to think a little bit, maybe ask some questions, write some notes, something like that, or go, you guys are idiots. And you know what? You can send that to us, you know, because we've been
I've been called an idiot by the best.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been called worse.
So well, I spent most of my life in construction, so I can tell you I've been called everything you can.
Well, imagine. That's true. So, hey, listen, thank you once again for the opportunity. For this next episode, we will be right back where we dropped off and finish this up and hopefully be able to answer your questions. But until then, may God richly bless you and encourage you in all that you do.
Thanks again for joining us. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Let's Cover It podcast, brought to you by The Covering Church.